The next day, she received more than 100 letters. And they all said the same thing. You can have mine. A little boy asked his father, "Daddy, how much does it cost to get married?" The father replied, "I don't know, son. I'm still paying." Amen. Well, that was, ladies, got one. I'll give you one more. This is a woman's prayer. "Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand a man, for love to forgive him, and for patience to put up with him. Because, Lord, if I pray for strength, I'll just beat him to death." So, amen. Good prayer there. All right, Luke chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Same passage we looked at last week here. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered and said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." And you can picture this event now as Peter and Andrew and James and John, they've been fishing all night long, haven't caught a thing. And morning watch has come, the sun's up, beautiful day. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus with just a crowd of people around him wanting to hear him preach the Word of God. And so Jesus comes to this man Simon, whom he had just previously met before that when Andrew had introduced him to him. And he tells Simon, "Simon, let me take me out in your boat out here a little way." And he probably goes out about 15, 20 feet from shore so that he can kind of be back from all the people and teach them at one time as he sits in Simon's boat teaching the people. When he finishes, he tells Simon, "Hey, I'm done now. I want you to go out further out here and I want you to let down your net and let's see if we can catch you some fish." And Simon, of course, tells him, "Hey, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing." We went into that last week, and the idea that all the Lord had to do with Simon is look at him. Simon changed his mind real quick. You remember that message last week, just a look from the Lord. And he got that look from the Lord, and he realized, well, you know what? Maybe this guy actually knows what he's talking about. Maybe if I claim to want to be a follower of his, that I should believe what he says. And so he believed what Jesus said, even though the circumstances didn't look at all like it was a good time to go fishing. Let down the net, man, they caught more fish they'd ever caught in their life. And he gets the other fellows to come in their boat and help him as the net's breaking and they're bringing in all these fish to shore. And when that thing happens, Simon Peter falls down before Jesus Christ. "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He knew right then who that was. He knew right then, this is the Lord. This ain't no normal man that could do something like this. He knew who he was. The Lord was able to win him right there, right on the spot. Win him to himself, see? Here's the thing. While Simon was fishing for fish, Jesus was fishing for men. Amen? And he caught a few right there. They caught some fish, but Jesus just caught him some men. Amen? And There's a great comparison in the Bible between fishing and winning souls. Look there in verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What does he mean? Does he want Simon to start going around with a cast net and throwing them over men and hauling them in and tying them up? No. What's he talking about? He's talking about, from now on, I'm going to show you how to win souls. I'm going to show you how to win others and bring them to me just as I won you to me. The current estimates, I don't know how true they are or not, but from what I've seen, it's estimated that 5% of Christians ever win another soul to Jesus Christ. 5%. Now, I don't know what the percentage is in here. I believe it's probably a little higher than that, and I thank God for that. It's an honor to be a pastor of a church where there's a bunch of people in it that do want to win souls to Christ, that do have a burden for those that are lost. If there's one thing that I get sick and tired of, it's these hypocritical, backslidden, apostate, worldly, good-for-nothing Christians that want to get on me for preaching hard and saying, you don't have enough love, and they ain't never won a soul to their lives to Jesus Christ. You don't have enough love. You ain't never won someone to Jesus Christ, and you know they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, and you could care less for their soul. You don't know anything about love. You're a joke. Go kid someone else. I believe there's a hell. I'm trying to win people out of it. How about you? You believe there's a hell? Oh, I don't believe that. Then are you saved? What'd you get saved from? Your wife talking bad about you? What'd you get saved from? Did you get saved from hell? I got saved from hell. How many of you believe there's a hell? Raise your hand. You believe there's a hell. You telling other people? You warning them? Hey, we're called to preach the gospel. That's supposed to mean good news. Huh? It's supposed to mean good news. If it's good news, how come some of you are afraid to tell it? Now, come on. And Jesus right here is giving some great illustrations, some great examples for us on the how to be soul winners. Any fishermen here? Anybody like to fish? I like to fish. Amen. I like fishing. Rod and reel, man. Some of you are shaking your head. No, I don't like fishing. You know what happened? You went out fishing one time, you didn't catch anything, you got discouraged and you quit. I know. Amen. But man, you ever get a big one on the line to take it in? Woo! Yeah, hallelujah. It's exciting, see? How many of you ever gone fishing? Just regular fishing. How many of you go a lot? Raise your hand. You like to go a lot and go fishing a lot? What's wrong with you people? Amen. Now, I thought I lived in the South. Yeah, amen. I like fishing. Now, there's all different kinds of fishing, brethren. Listen, just like there's all different kinds of ways to win souls. See, there's more than one way to catch fish. And there's more than one way to catch men. From henceforth, Jesus said, thou shalt catch men. You can use a rod and a reel, right? Just for rod and reel, the hook and all that, catch fish that way. You can use a cane pole. You can use a trout line. You can use a cast net. Some of these guys, they do that, what do they call that? Noodling. Yeah. They go down in the water and actually stick their hand inside the mouth of a big old catfish. And then when he grabs on, they grab the thing from the inside of its gills and bring it out. Fish like that. Amen. Noodling. I don't know where they came up with that word. It don't look like no noodle to me. I guess your arm's the noodle. I don't know how that works. But there's noodling. That's a different way to catch fish. There's cast nets. There's cast nets. There's trout lines. There's trout lines. There's gill nets. We used to, I think that's pretty much illegal everywhere now, isn't it? But we used to have a good time with a gill net. We'd go out, when I was in Bible school, we'd go out down there, the beaches, and get down there somewhere, nobody around in the evening, and go down there and you have a 300-yard gill net, a drag net, and you put that thing in a kiddie pool, you anchor it, you stake it down on the sand, then you just walk out with that thing and let the line out, going out in the water, way on down, and then way on down out here, and then way on down back here, kind of like if we did this whole parking lot going out across the street, and then you come back, and then you just start taking that thing once you do that, and it's all bottom, it's got lead all around it, and then floats on the top, and then you just start dragging that thing in, and any fish that are in there, buddy, you just bring them in, you have your feast, amen. Have a good time doing that. There's all kinds of ways to catch fish. There was a fellow one time, he's out fishing, and a friend of his he knew from work saw him in there. Well, he had just gotten back and had a couple fish on his stringer, and his friend came in, he said, well, did you catch any fish? He said, sure did. Opened up his cooler, a cooler full of fish. He says, man, how did you catch all those fish? Oh, that's a little secret I got. Man, you got to show me that secret. I'll tell you what, you meet me here next week, we'll go out together, I'll show you how to catch some fish. All right, that's the deal. So next week, sure enough, there he is waiting for him. When he gets down there, gets on his boat, they go out. He gets out there. He says, this looks like a good spot right here. He says, all right. While the guy's getting his tackle box out and everything else, a friend of his takes a stick of dynamite and lights it and throws it in the water. Boom! Hey, what are you doing? All of a sudden, all these fish start floating up to the top. He goes over there and just starts taking his net, taking all these fish, putting them in his cooler. He says, man, you can't be doing that. You said you were catching fish, but I didn't know you were catching them like that. You can't be going around just throwing dynamite in the water and everything, catching fish that way. And while he just goes on and on about this guy and getting on him for doing that, the guy lights another stick of dynamite and hands it to his friend. He says, now you're going to talk all day, you're going to fish. Amen. You're going to do one or the other. You know what some Christians do? They talk all day, but they don't ever fish. Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll teach you to catch men. Amen. I had a friend of mine one time when I was in the Coast Guard down in Key West. He used to go spear fishing. And he took a buddy of his out and was trying to teach him how to spear fish. You know what this dummy did? He saw a big 6-foot barracuda. And he decided he was going to spear it. Oh, man, did he go for a ride. That 6-foot bat just carrying him around, I mean, just zooming through the water, you know, water coming up in his nose. He's trying to hold on to the whole time. There's all kinds of way to catch fish, just like there's all kinds of ways to win souls, see? Doesn't everybody have to do it the same exact way? The question is, are you fishing? Are you catching men? You can win souls one-on-one. You can win them at special meetings. You can have events. You can have street work. You can do door-to-door. You can be involved in some ministry. There's all kinds of ways to win souls. The question is, are you a soul winner? I believe in a majority of churches, if you went into them, you might find one or two people in there that have ever won a soul. You know what they think? Well, that's just for the preacher. No. That's something for every Christian. Every Christian is to be able to give an answer to every man, a reason of the hope that is within them, the Bible says. And so in this passage here, we've got a great example of how to be a soul winner. And if you're going to be a soul winner, the first thing you need to know, look in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Before Simon could ever learn to catch other men, he had to be caught himself. And so the first thing you need to do to be a soul winner is you need to make sure that you're a Christian yourself. You need to know that you're saved. You know why some people aren't willing to tell anybody the gospel? Because they don't really understand it themselves. They don't have anything good enough to share with anybody else. What kind of Christianity do you have? Do you have a Christianity where it's not good enough to tell anybody else about it? I have a Christianity good enough to tell anybody else about it. What kind of Christianity do you have? See? But if you're truly saved, that should be an automatic. You should want to see other people get saved. I wish I could get saved again sometimes. Amen? It was so good, but I can't get saved again. You can only get saved once. You know what the next best thing is? Seeing somebody else get saved. Amen. It's good seeing people get saved. The greatest thing about seeing other people get saved is knowing what you know about what happens to somebody when they get saved that they don't even know yet. I mean, you see them get saved and all they know is, oh, man, that was good. I'm glad I got saved. But they have no idea what just happened. In that instantaneous transaction, I know what happened. Amen. I know there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over that one sinner that's repented. And I praise God for that. But it's impossible to be a soul winner if you're not saved yourself. You need to get saved first. And if you're saved, you know what happened to you. Don't you? If you're saved, you can tell me how you got saved. Can you tell me how you got saved? Listen, if you can't tell me how you got saved, would I be wrong for doubting you're saved? Is it getting quiet in here? What happened? If you couldn't tell me how you got saved, how do I know you're saved? Can you tell me how you got saved? Well, listen, if you can tell me how you got saved, then you can tell somebody else how to get saved. You don't have to be a theologian, see? You don't have to be a Bible expert. You ought to just want to be able to tell someone else. You ought to be able to at least give your testimony. blind Bartimaeus after Jesus opened his eyes and all. Blind Bartimaeus, he didn't know a whole bunch of Bible. He didn't know anything. They came to blind Bartimaeus. All he said is, hey, I don't know anything other than once I was blind and now I see. What's he doing? Hey, he's just telling him what the Lord did for me. And has the Lord done something for you? Has the Lord saved you? Has he given you the free gift of eternal life? Then you ought to be able to want to tell others about it. But you can't do that unless, of course, you are saved yourself. Until you understand what happened to you, you're not going to be any benefit to anyone else. Continuing on, look in verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And then he's going to teach Simon in verse 4 in the ship. See, what do you have to do to be a soul winner? You have to learn. You have to learn how to fish. You have to learn from the master how to be a fisherman. You know what you need to do, Christian? You need to pray and ask Jesus Christ to help you to become a soul winner. You know what some do? They always try to do it on their own. You can't do it on your own. What you need to do is you talk to Jesus and you ask Jesus to help you to become a soul winner. You're going to need to learn some things. You're going to need some wisdom. You're going to need some knowledge. You're going to need some understanding so that you can become a soul winner and win others. You've got to learn human nature. You've got to know how to deal with people and interact with people. You've got to know your Bible. How are you going to learn your Bible? You know, I hear so many say, well, I'm not a soul winner. I just don't know my Bible good enough. But I never see him here in Sunday school. Don't see him here Sunday night. Don't see him here Wednesday night. What you're saying is you're ignorant because you're willingly ignorant. Huh? Listen, if I don't know how to do something and I want to do it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find out how to do it. How about that? If you want to be a soul winner, you can find out how. Amen. The Lord will teach you everything you need to know. That's the cure. The cure is to learn your Bible. If you want something, if you want to know something, learn it. I've heard a preacher say before, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. Amen. You are who you are, but you can borrow brains. You can get books that other people have written, videos, whatever. You can get with someone else and ask them to help you. Are you here in Sunday school? Are you here every Sunday morning? Are you here every Sunday evening? Are you here every Wednesday? We got a library over there you can take advantage of. We've got a website you can go on and listen to preaching and teaching there. We've got CDs that you can get for a buck if you want. And then we've got a Bible Institute. You can sit in on any of the classes. You think anybody going to this church is going to be able to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I just didn't know how? Ain't going to work. Not here. Not going to work here. Listen, if you're in this church, we're a Bible-believing church. We really believe Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He really was the Son of God, that He really did die for sins and raised again the third day. We really do believe that King James Bible is the Word of God. We really do believe there's a heaven and a hell. We really do believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ saves people from an eternal hell. We really do believe that every Christian is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account for himself. Our church is not about let's get entertained for an hour and go home and watch football. That ain't what this thing's about. This is real. You're in the real deal here, all right? And in the real deal here, we're going to teach you and show you how to win souls. You say, but I don't want to win souls. Well, then get saved and you will. Oh, how could you say that? Like this. I moved my mouth and my tongue moved and the words came out. That's how I can say that. What I said is the truth. And you know it's the truth. And if you don't have a burden for lost souls, you need to get saved. You hear me? Quit faking it. The only person you're hurting is yourself. It's your soul. Who do you think you're kidding? You know who you're kidding? Yourself. You're going to end up in hell one day trying to fake being a Christian. Nobody can make themselves a Christian. Jesus Christ has to make you a Christian. Have you met Him? You met my Savior? You met my Savior? I met Him when I was 25 years old, living a life of sin out in this world. I know Jesus Christ. I've met Him. And I know those who have and those that ain't. Amen. Don't start looking guilty when I say that. Come on now. All I'm saying is get saved. You don't have to fake it. It's free. Come to Christ today. Be born again. Make your calling and election sure. And once you have, listen, you're going to want to tell others, at least you should, if you have any decency about you. You know that other people are going to hell. Don't you care? How about this? We call it the good news, the gospel. I got a couple calls after I made my call about Sister Knapp yesterday. Everybody knew like that. You know why? It was bad news. Isn't it amazing how fast bad news travels? Hey, what if the good news of Jesus Christ traveled like bad news? You know what the difference is? Some Christians, they don't mind spreading the bad news. They don't mind spreading the gossip. They don't mind, you know, getting on the phone and, oh, well, just pray for so-and-so because, you know, I don't know if you've heard what I heard. But when it comes to telling people about Jesus, that's a strange kind of Christian. Strange kind of Christian. Say, what is that? I don't know. They say they're saved, I guess. Strange kind of Christian, as far as I'm concerned. You're going to learn. You want to learn how to be a soul winner? This is how you're going to learn. Listen, start doing it. It's on-the-job training. Here's what you do. How many of you in here have ever won a soul to Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. If you know, you've had... Now, those of you who haven't, look at all these people with their hands up. Go get with them sometime and say, hey, could you show me how to win souls? Hey, could I go soul winning with you sometime and tell others about Jesus? That's all you got to do. There's plenty of people in here that know how to win a soul for Christ. Get with them. Go out knocking on some doors with them. Go downtown with them. Go do something where you can talk to others and see someone else get saved. Man, it's the greatest thing you can do in life. What other way are you going to see? If you right now had a cure for cancer, you had it, and didn't tell other people about it, what kind of a person would you be? You have the information right now. You have the cure for sin. Amen. You have what is necessary to tell people how they don't have to pay for their sins. You have that. What are you doing with it? You keeping it to yourself? I hope not. You're going to stand before Christ one day? You're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day with an empty stringer? With no fish? Lord, I was serving you! What did he say? Follow me and you'll learn to catch men. Are you following Jesus? He wants to teach you to catch men. That's what he wants to teach you to do. I heard Brother Sid, our missionary to Israel, he was telling me about a lady. I think she's up in Indiana somewhere, Ohio, something like that. Anyway, this she's an older lady. She's a widow. And she doesn't really have health to go out and talk to people a lot. You know what she does? She gets a phone book from a different town. And once every month, when she gets her check in the mail, she takes a certain amount of that money and she gets a phone book from a certain town and goes through all the addresses and fills out a letter with some gospel tracts and puts them in envelopes and sends them to every single person in the town. And she does a different town every month. See, what's she doing? She's doing what she can. She's doing what she can. Amen. How'd you like to stand before that lady at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, if you're going to be a soul winner, not only do you have to be saved yourself, and not only do you have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to teach you how to be a soul winner, but notice in verse 11 of chapter 5, verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed. Now we're going to get down to it. You know why most Christians aren't soul winners? Yeah, they're saved. Sure, they're going to heaven. You know why they're not soul winners? They're not willing to forsake all. Simple as that. They're not willing to forsake all. Say, what aren't they willing to forsake? They're not willing to forsake their fear. Now, this is what stops many Christians from ever witnessing. They're not able to forsake their fear. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible. Fear not, I'm with thee. What did he tell Simon Peter right there in verse 10? Fear not, Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. I will not fear what man can do unto me. God's with you. You don't have to be afraid. How big is your God? You know what I've noticed? Most people I've ever witnessed to, look at me. Do I look intimidating to you? I'm 5'5 on a good day in shoes. Okay? And yet I go and witness to people, and they're scared to death. I mean, I've seen them literally shake. Say, why? They're more afraid of me than I am of them. You know what you Christians need to realize? You've got a big God. You start witnessing to people, they're going to be a whole lot more afraid of you than you are of them. You need to get over that fear. See, how do you do it? You forsake it. Just chuck it behind you. Casting all your cares upon Him. Say, I ain't going to fear no more. Ain't nothing to be afraid of. See? I've seen kids go up to big 350-pound bikers and say, could I give you a gospel tract to read? And that biker looks and say, yeah, sure, thanks. And that big old burly guy, he is afraid of that little kid. Now, some of you, I don't know what it is. You say you're a man? You say you're tough? Well, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? It ain't like we live in Iran or Saudi Arabia. You do it over there, they'll cut your head off. And there's Christians that have that done all the time. What are you going to lose? What are you afraid of? Quit being afraid. And that's what stops a lot of Christians from winning others to the Lord. They're just simply not willing to forsake their fear. What did He tell them to do? Hey, Simon, we're going to catch fish. You're going to have to go out in the deep. You have to go out a little farther. And you see, Christians don't want that. They like that shallow Christianity. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts telling them about being a soul winner and all that. That's getting out there a little. That's a little fanatical. That's a little deep. Yeah, but that's where the fish are. And the Lord's going to say, you need to take this thing a little further. You have to be willing to forsake your fear. I get a kick. I get a blessing every time we have some new fella come down on the street with a street preaching. I love it. I like to see them get down there. Well, they'll get down there and they're not sure what's going on at first. And they're just kind of sitting around. You can tell it's just kind of a little nervous. They're not sure what to think or what to do. We get out there and we start preaching and handing out tracts and talking to people about the Lord. And next thing you see them get in on it. Next thing you know, they're out there with the Bible preaching. And you see the Holy Ghost just fill them, man. And all of a sudden, all that fear and everything has vanished away. And there's a boldness and there's a power there. You ever been filled with the Spirit of God? You want to get filled with the Spirit of God? That's how you do it. You don't come down here and wave your hands and and speak in tongues and all that garbage. That's not how you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Go out there and serve Jesus Christ. And stand for Him and tell others about Him. You want a feeling? I'll show you how to get a feeling. Amen. Come down there on the street with us sometime and talk to others about Jesus. Amen. You need to not only forsake fear, you got to forsake your reputation. Well, what will others think about me? Probably no worse than they think now. You just think they think good about you. They don't. You've just deceived yourself, so get over yourself and you'll be all right. What will they think about? You know what somebody says when they say that? Well, they think so good of me. And if I do this, they're not going to think good of me. No, maybe they don't think good of you at all. Maybe you're already deceived. You know what you need to do? You need to forsake your reputation. Hey, how many slaves are here? We got any slaves here this morning? Probably have a few. You know what you're a slave to? You're a slave to public opinion. You want to be free? You're a free man. We're liberty in the United States of America. You want to be really free? I'll tell you how to be free. The day that you'll die to public opinion. The day you'll die to, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. I don't care who likes it and who doesn't. Amen. That's freedom, man. You talk about liberty, you talk about joy and peace. That comes right there. You want to break some shackles in your life? Just do that. I'll tell you how you do it. Go out there in a street corner and hold up a Bible and say, Jesus saves! Roman slaves! You must be born again! Amen. Be good for you. Hallelujah. Listen, you got to forsake your fear. You got to forsake your reputation. You got to forsake worldly endeavors. You know what they did? They left their boats. They left their nets. I know Christians aren't in church this morning because of a boat. They haven't been able to forsake their worldly endeavors. They're so busy with the job and with the hobbies and with the television and all the rest of it, they don't have no time for God. They don't have time to learn how to be a soul winner. They don't have time to go soul winning. Why? They're still in love with this world. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you love this world or do you love heaven? You don't love one or the other. You can't love them both. You can't love them both. You make up your mind which one you're in love with. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You need to forsake those worldly endeavors. You need to forsake the shame and reproach. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Now, I'm ashamed of myself sometimes. You ever done anything you're ashamed of? I have. But I've never been ashamed of Jesus Christ. He ain't done nothing wrong. Why would anybody be ashamed of Jesus Christ? Say, why? They don't want to bear His reproach. You look there in Hebrews chapter 13, and it says right there that Jesus suffered for us without the gate. Let us therefore go unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. You know why most Christians aren't soul winners? They don't want to bear that reproach. That's why you don't live for God the way you should. You don't want to bear His reproach. You don't live the Christian life in this church, in this building. It's easy to be a Christian in here. You live the Christian life when you go out there. The job in here is to prepare you to go out in this world and tell others about Jesus and live for Him and live the right life and walk in a way that others will see you have something that they need. Amen. But don't try this. I'm not into this lifestyle evangelism garbage. Say, what's that? I'm just letting my light shine. What do they mean by that? I'm just being nice. I'm just being a good person. And then all others will see that and then they'll want to be Christians like me. Don't work. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. All they're going to think is that you're a nice person. That's it. That's what you're accomplishing there. You know why? Because you don't want to face the reproach that comes from going outside the camp. Amen. And as Christians, we're to bear His reproach. If you're going to be a soul winner, you've got to forsake all. And then finally there in verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and what? Followed Him. Do you follow Jesus Christ? Are you His follower? Do I have any followers of Jesus Christ in here this morning? Are you a follower? If somebody asked you if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, what would you tell them? Are you? Because you know what? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be a soul winner. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. What did Jesus say? Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Is that what He said? That's what He said. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. There's no choice in it. You can't follow Jesus Christ and not become a soul winner. It's impossible. So if you're not a soul winner, then it's because 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's because you're not following Him. You know what I'd encourage you to do this morning? Follow Him. Now, if you follow Him, I can guarantee you one thing will happen. You'll become a soul winner. I don't know all else what will happen, but I can guarantee you that. If you're following Him, you will win souls to Christ. You follow Him as your Lord. You follow Him as your Master. What does that mean to follow Him? Well, follow Him. Wherever He goes, you go. Wherever He says don't go, you don't go. I mean, if He wants you to win others, then you'll win others because you're following Him. Did Jesus say He will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth? Yes, He did. Are you following Him? Did He tell you He wants everybody to get saved? Yes. Well, then what are you doing? Pretty simple, isn't it? And to follow Him also means to follow His example. What was Christ's example? Jesus ever witnessed to people? Jesus ever preach? Zacchaeus! Come down. Shrimp, come down here, shorty. I'm going to your house today. Let's go talk. What's Jesus doing picking out Zacchaeus like that? You're going to witness to him? You're going to talk to him about Jesus? How about Nicodemus? The Pharisee? The ruler that comes to Jesus? What does Jesus do with him? He tries to tell him how to be born again.
See?
He witnesses to him. How about the woman at the well? Instead of thinking about himself and him being thirsty, what does he end up doing for that woman? Telling her how she could have the water of life. What's Jesus doing in his ministry? He's talking to others how they can have eternal life. He's witnessing to others. Are you a follower of Christ? Are you following his example? Jesus Christ witnessed. Jesus Christ won souls. Jesus Christ right here wins Simon and the other disciples by what he was doing. Even was on the cross, he was thinking of souls. He wasn't thinking of himself. And he looks to that dying thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He's winning a soul while he's being crucified. What an example. What an example. Are you a soul winner, Christians? Why don't you start forsaking all and following him? If you need to learn, learn. Maybe really what's going on is you're just not a Christian yourself. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, listen. I've got the greatest news that the world's ever heard. And the greatest news that this world ever heard came from a graveyard. He is not here. For he is risen. We serve a living Savior. He's alive. And because of that, the Bible says in Hebrews that he is able to save to the uttermost. I can't save you. A religion can't save you. A church can't save you. A denomination can't save you. A living Savior, risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, can save you right now. He shed his blood to wash away your sins. He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. And of course, as Simon, that's the first thing you have to realize. What did Simon do? Depart from me, Lord, for I am what? A sinful man. That has to be the first acknowledgement. You know why some people don't get saved? They think they're too good. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, and so I'll be all right. No, you've sinned against a holy God. And one day you'll stand before him in your sin. And you will not get into heaven in your sin. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't build a ladder or a tower to get up into heaven. God sent a lifeline down. The blood of Jesus Christ. And right now, if you'll reach out to that lifeline, you can be saved. It's that simple. For whosoever shall call, Lord, save me. See, how do you get saved? That's it. You look to Jesus, trust him to be your Savior. He'll give you the free gift of eternal life. He'll change your life. He'll give you something to live for. He'll give you something to die for. And it's only found through faith in the gospel. We got good news, brethren. We got good news. Are we followers of Christ? Then we ought to be fishing for men. I'm glad some of you know your Bible good enough. Are you still with me? I'm glad you still know your Bible's good enough that you can talk to someone and show them where they're wrong and you're right. But if that's all you're doing with it, and you're not winning others, I guess you'll just be right all the way to heaven. There's millions of lost souls out there. Who's going to tell them? That's somebody else's job. Who's going to tell them? Maybe some in here. I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to do a thing other than look up to Christ and say, Lord, save me. Come into my heart. Give me this free gift of eternal life that preacher's talking about. If you do that, you'll be saved. Right where you're at, right now, you can be saved. Let's pray. Father, I do pray, Lord, for your people, that you'd help them, God, to be soul winners. Lord, I'm trying to get them ready. They're going to have to stand before you one day.
I don't want them standing before you ashamed that they didn't even try to ever tell anybody about Jesus. Lord, there's lost souls all about us every day. And there's a lot of them that claim to be saved and aren't. We know that. We pray for them. Lord, there may be some here today, and I believe there is, that have never been born again. They don't know Jesus. They know religion. They've been to church maybe, but they've never met the risen Savior. God, I pray right now, right where they're seated right now, that they'd cry unto Jesus Christ. And they'd say, Lord Jesus, save me a sinner. I want to go to heaven. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Lord, I pray they'd get saved right now. Lord, help us to do our best to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, if we're going to follow you, we've got to forsake all. And that includes our own reputation. We've got to be willing to suffer some reproach. Let people laugh at us. Talk about us. But Lord, help us to realize the cause. Realize the need. David said, is there not a cause? And Lord, there is a cause. Help us to see it. Burden your people. Thank you for every missionary we're able to support. Every ministry that we have to reach out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'd bless each and every one of them. Be with your people and minister to them. Help them, Lord, to surrender to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ, even today. As we continue in prayer with our heads bound, anybody here right now, nobody's looking around. Anybody in here right now saying, you know, I'd like to get saved, preacher. Would you pray for me? Maybe I'm not sure about it or anything, but would you just pray for me? I need to get saved. Nobody's looking at you. It's just me. Amen. God bless you. One there. Anyone else here? Just raise your hand right now and say, you know, I'm not sure about all this, but I need to get saved. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that here? Just raise your hand up. Nobody's looking. Raise your hand up. Brother Ray, pray for me. All right. Father, I do pray for this one that raised their hand. I pray that even now, you'd give them the boldness and the strength. And I pray that even right now, this one, while everybody's praying, Lord, would come down to this altar and pray and let someone take a Bible, show them how to be saved. Give them that strength and that boldness, Father. Would you like to do that? Don't you want to make this thing sure? Would you like to do that? I'm giving you the opportunity right now. Nobody's looking around. Why don't you come down here? I'll have somebody take a Bible, show you how to the Bible, how you can be saved. Would you like to confirm it now? We'll give you that opportunity if you'd like. Any Christians in here saying, Brother Ray, truth be told, I haven't won a soul to Christ yet this year. And Lord, burden me with that message. And I want to be a better soul winner for Jesus Christ. Brother Ray, would you pray for me? Anyone like that here this morning? I'd like to pray for you. Amen. There's one. There's another. There's another. Hands up everywhere. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hands now. Lord, they're willing to follow you. They're willing to forsake all. God, I pray you'd help them to learn to catch men, to become fishers of men, to be soul winners for Jesus Christ. Help us to see the need. Lord, I thank you for every person that comes here that puts money in that plate to reach the gospel out to others that need to hear. But God, we can do much more than that. Help all of us, Lord, to have that vision, to have that desire, to reach all we can while we can. Lord, you said the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, while it is day, while we have opportunity, help us to do all we can to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be fishers of men, that we may stand before you one day with a cooler full of fish for thee. All right, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. And let's see, Brother Rusty, would you ask RJ to close us in prayer, please? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Rusty, and close us in prayer. Amen.